Not working, correct?
Okay.
You don't need that to hear me anyways. So, with that, you can open your Bibles to Genesis 19. We'll start with one verse. Title of tonight's message, hopefully we can finish it. If not, it'll go 2 weeks because it won't be on the next week because that'll be the closing meeting of our Faith Promise Missions Conference. It's Things to Do Early. Title of the message, Things to Do Early. Genesis 19, look at verse 27. And it's after we have here where Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt in verse 26 because she looked back on the things of the world. In verse 27 it says, "And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt." The first thing I want you to see here is that early Abraham stood before the Lord. And I want you to understand, so many people wait to the what? Last minute. Okay. They wait to the last minute. I want you to look at Proverbs 8. See if we can bring some things together for you this morning, this evening. It's going to be about the morning, I should say, this first point. Okay. This evening, Proverbs 8, look at verse 17. It's talking about wisdom here. In the context, if you read through the chapter, you should be reading a proverb a day. Okay? It helps keep the devil away. You know, it's like an apple a day. Okay, so this is what I want you to think. Proverbs 8. In verse 17, it says, "I love them that what? And those that seek me early shall find me." The context is those who love wisdom. And if you seek it early, you're showing that it means something to you. Go to Jeremiah 29. Excuse me. Jeremiah 29. Verse 11, the Lord is speaking. This is after the judgment. Jeremiah is talking about the 70 years that's going to come on judgment of Israel before Babylon. He says in verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me," how? "And find me when you search for me with" what? The heart will be involved when you put him first. It talks about doing it early. Okay, I want you to understand. If you wait to put the Lord into your day and you're going to read your Bible before you go to bed at night, there's nothing wrong with doing that as long as you've read it first thing in the morning. Because you wait to read it the last thing at night, and you know what happens? The day gets in the way. Turn to Mark chapter 1. Now, I do devotions with different people to be an encouragement to them. We try to be faithful in it as much as we can. Sometimes I'm busy, sometimes not available. I wait when people call me. Okay, and then we do work on that. And it's more than one person that I do that with. But I want you to understand, I put that on them to make the phone call. Okay, but my wife and I know every morning I'm going to be reading my Bible and praying. She's going to be reading her Bible. She comes out of the bedroom earlier than I do unless I'm hunting and then I'm in a tree. And I have a waterproof New Testament that I read in the tree stand. Okay? But I will find her reading and praying with her devotions in the morning, every day. Not once in a while, not most of the days of the week, every day. You say, why is that important? Because seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? All these things will be added unto you. Mark chapter 1, this is Jesus in verse 35, and it says, on the morrow, rising up a great while before what? Before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. One of the foundations that started this church, and it started with Pastor Christian, is every Friday at 5 or 5:30, 5:30, we would drive to Pastor Christian's. And John would drive from Fulton, and of course, I didn't have to drive that far. We'd come over and we would pray for Emmanuel in the ministry of this church. When Pastor Christian retired, John would drive to my house every Friday at 5:30. We'd pray. He'd be back at work before 7. He lived in Fulton, worked in Fulton, came out and we prayed. And the reason we had to do it at that time so that we could get it in before our days started. That's the foundation of this church. Okay, that's one of the foundation stones in the different prayer time that's been encouraged with different people. Parents, if you don't pray with your children, shame on you. You want them to pray in the morning? They need to see you pray in the morning. You pray with them. Anytime we travel out to my son's house, we travel to my daughter's house, my children, and I'm just telling you, it's because we made this a priority. Before my son goes to work in television broadcast news, he's reading his Bible and praying every day. I'm on vacation, I go out there, and the nicest thing I see in the morning is there is my son, and there is my daughter-in-law, and there is my youngest grandson reading the Bible and praying together. Jesus did it before, okay? And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. That means it was still, I don't have time to pray. I have to get to work. 10 to 15 minutes to read your proverb. Can you give him 10 minutes and 5 minutes in prayer to start your day? Things to do early. Judy can tell you, when I don't start with the Lord early, my flesh gets in the way early. And that's just the truth of it. Okay, it was a great while before the day. Look at Luke 21. If you work nights, when you get up early enough to read your Bible and pray before you go to work. You work 3 to 11, you get up early enough so you can do that before you leave. I drove for 4 years to go to Bible Institute, 4 days a week from Fairhaven to Rochester. And before I would leave, because I work nights, and I worked most of the time 60 hours a week. I was the youth pastor in the church, and I was going to Bible Institute full time. And we would pray before I would leave. We'd done devotions with the kids before I would leave. And I watched that, something that they still do. Okay. I can find my son Michael reading his Bible in the morning. I can find my daughter Heather reading her Bible in the morning. Because it was something that was established with them. Because it became a priority for us. If it's not a priority for you, it'll never be a priority for those who follow you. Luke 21. Jesus is preaching. In verse 37, it says, "And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that was called the Mount of Olives." He would give out and take time apart there. And it says, "And all the people came when? Early in the morning to him in the temple to hear him." The people came to hear Jesus in the temple, coming to church. People struggled to get up and make it on time. "Well, I can't make Sunday school. I just can't make Sunday school." Ready? Aw, nuts. Can't make Sunday school. If you seek him early, you will find him. Okay? "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and all thy mind." That's the first and great commandment. He comes first. Second one is like on the first, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." You want your kids to love the Lord? You want your kids to get saved early? They need to see you praying with them, for them. They need to see you in God's word. So you need to seek him early in prayer. Secondly, turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in what? In trouble. "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." Boy, things don't look good, huh? "Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that wind." Right early. In a time of temptation, in a time of struggle around you, seek God for him to help you early. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "For there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." It's normal. All suffer temptation. Temptation is not sin. What you do with it is whether it becomes sin or not. "There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you," he won't allow you to be tempted, "suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may bear it." Didn't say take the temptation away, that you can bear it, you can get through it. He'll do it right early. If you seek him early for help with a temptation, you know God cannot violate his word. The one thing God cannot do, and God can do anything, is he will not violate his word. Turn to Psalm 90. You should seek him early in prayer. You should seek him early in worship. In the morning, start your day with Jesus. You should seek him early when temptation comes. Seek him right early. Psalm 90, look at verse 14. "O satisfy us early with thy what?" What? Why do you need mercy? Mercy is you not getting the judgment or the punishment that you deserve. When you seek him early, he'll help you with your temptation. He'll satisfy us early with his mercy. Seek him early when you sin. Seek him early when the temptation comes. If you seek him early when the temptation comes, you'll have less trouble with the temptation. Because if you seek him early when the temptation comes, who will your heart be on? Will it be on the sin, the temptation that's coming, that turns to sin? Or will it be on him? So you seek him early in a time of temptation. If you seek him early when there's a temptation, you'll have less trouble forgiving others when they're in temptation, because you'll understand his mercy and forgiveness, and he can help you through that temptation. Go to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14. You still with me? Numbers 14. You had trouble with people with murmuring about entering the land. You know, there were 12 sent in to spy the land, and 10 were bad and 2 were good. Okay? You had an evil report and slander brought up. You had the different things going on there. Verse 38, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Those 10 didn't live. And Moses told these sayings to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up on, into the mountain, or into the top of the mountain, and said, lo, we be here, and we'll go unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have what? So they rose up early in the morning. When they had sinned, they didn't sit in that sin all day long. When it was pointed out to them, when God revealed that, you know something? God will always reveal your sin to you. He uses your conscience. He uses a scripture verse coming back to mind. One of the biggest things we find when people, we can't get them in their Bible, is because they don't want to read their Bible because it brings them under conviction. They rose up early to confess their sin. It's been mentioned here in the last few weeks. Don't force God to reveal the sin to others that he's been dealing with you about privately. Amen? God loves you enough. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son he receiveth. If you receive not chastening, then you're bastards and not sons. You're legitimate children. God's going to chasten you. He's going to deal with you. Isn't it always easier when you deal with the child early? Okay. So many times kids get a greater discipline because they try to hide their sin and they lie about their sin and they avoid the thing instead of dealing with it early. Don't force God to reveal it. Pastor Kenny has this verse memorized that for some reason I struggle with it, but I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, because when I was doing this, I said, Pastor, what's the verse? Okay, and he quoted it to me, and I said, where is it? Okay, and you would think after 300 times of reading through the book of Ecclesiastes that somehow this would stick. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. What is that saying? Because God's judgment didn't come like this. It was not that the judgment, the sentence against that sin wasn't executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do what? Do evil. Because the judgment doesn't come upon them, God will deal with our hearts, and he is merciful. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Come boldly before the throne of God to get his mercy. You know what that is? That's confessing it to him early. If you say you have not sinned, you make God a liar. Right? 1 John 5. But when you give it to him early, the chastening can be easier and the blessing can return faster. But because it doesn't seem like anybody's caught us, we continue in it. That's what that verse is saying. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, doesn't happen fast. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. See? Early in the morning to reach to God in the beginning of your day. Early when temptation comes. Confession early when sin enters. You still with me? So get up early with God. It's preventative maintenance. Okay? We want this church to always be proactive, not reactive. That's why we have security teams. That's why we do the things we do. It's a preparation so that stuff doesn't have to happen. Well, it needs to be that way in our Christian walk. Okay? He that putteth his hand to the plow looking back. Okay? You got to be prepared. The net is set, or the snare is set. Is the net is set? The net is spread in vain in the sight of any bird. They can see it. They're not going to fly into it. Walk circumspectly means looking around. Looking around. It's preventative. So get early with God. Get early with God when you're tempted. Get early with God when you sin. And young people, learn to get early with God in your life. Anyone who got saved after the age of 21 wished they had been saved as a child. Plain and simple. So much sin could be kept out of your life. I got people in this church, young people, young adults, trying to do right who got saved early and have not given in to the world. That's only done by choice and not by accident. You seek God early in life. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That says a young man. You can make that a young woman. When you put it there, do it early. Turn to Mark chapter 10. We're getting finished. Believe it or not, we're finishing. Mark chapter 10. Verse 13. And they brought the young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. I've had a parent tell me, well, I'm not going to push my child. I'm not going to make him go to church all the time. I'll let them make their own choice. By not doing it, you just help them make the choice not to do it. Children, you shouldn't have a choice. Jesus said, but when Jesus saw it, because the disciples rebuked them bringing the little kids, and everybody who comes to this church, you know what they love seeing? Kids in this church. What do kids make? Messes. They make messes physically, they make messes verbally, they make messes spiritually. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not. This lady claimed that. Two sons, Bible school graduates, one heading into the ministry in a church. Sure, from rough waters along the way, though, huh, honey? Yeah. Train them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer little children to come unto me, for such, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. You know what it comes down to? It takes childlike faith to get saved. That tells me anyone can get saved. The faith of a child. You know how my dad taught me to swim? He took us down. He taught hundreds of Marines as they were crossing the Pacific in World War II because they had to learn to swim or they were going to drown if they had to jump out of the LSTs as they were doing landings. And he would kick them off the fantail, okay, of the ship he was on. And they'd go down screaming. They'd hit the water, they'd bob up, and my father would dive in and he'd be holding them and say, okay, now grab water like a dog, kick like a dog. All he's going to do is teach them doggy paddle and keep them from drowning. That's all it takes. You don't have to do the Australian crawl or the side stroke or the porpoising. You got to be able to keep yourself from drowning, right? And he taught them. So when we were 45 years old, we wanted to go swimming. My father knew one way of teaching. Okay? I'm afraid. Up in the air you go, you come down, you hit the water. By the time you came out, my father's arms were underneath you. And he said, now just cup your hands and catch a little water. Kick your feet. He says, you won't drown. You know what we have a problem with? Believing that our Heavenly Father's going to catch us. If you sought him early in prayer, you sought him early in your Bible, you'll have less of a problem believing that when you think you're going down, he'll be there to hold you up through the waters, through the fire. You still with me? The best time to get saved is early. Early. When they're old enough to know that what they've done is sin. They're old enough to know that they need Jesus. Amen? Turn to Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to finish up. You need to seek him early in the day. You need to seek him early in temptation. You need to seek him early for forgiveness when sin creeps in. You need to seek him early in your life, early to save you. Early to lead you. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Or do I, if I yet please men, I could not be what? Servant of Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Young people, when you obey your parents, you are serving your Savior, if you're saved. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. See, he's talking to children, teaching them to obey and to honor. If your children don't understand, parents, help them to understand what obedience is and what honor is. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture. That's a positive thing. An admonition of the Lord. They don't need to hear all the things that they always do wrong, because they always think they're going to be wrong. They need to hear the things they do right, and you encourage them to do right. Learn to do right. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, the encouragement, and the admonition of the Lord. Servants, you see, we're going from children, the father is teaching them, and it goes right into what? Servants. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Why? Because your children had to learn to be obedient to their parents and to the Lord. Not as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Learn to serve God early. And all God's people said, good night and God bless.